and its giftedness, working towards the body for Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 reads as thus, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Let me pause. The Crusaders were doing what they are gifted to do.
Amen.
You saw it. You experienced it. It happened. Now you're going to see if the pastor is going to exercise his gift. And then we're going to see if some of you are going to exercise in your giftedness. Yes, my friend, qualified, godly, spiritual discernment. Because as you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, a theme scripture that we're looking at, you cannot help but to see what this discernment is. "And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits." Let me tell you right now, if in your spirit person you didn't pick up that we were praising the name of the Lord and building up His name and glorifying Him, you do not have the gift of discernment. If you didn't like the beat of the music because it had too many drums in it, too many cymbals, you missed the whole point. Lifting up the name of Jesus. If you didn't like the style of shoes one had on, of the blouse that the other one was donning, you missed the whole point. Lifting up the name of Jesus. If you don't like me because I'm black, hey now, get back. You missed the whole point. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus. The church has not demonstrated clear thinking in the area of her leadership. Because in her leadership, there has not been too much spiritual discernment. Her leadership has been carried away. And since the leadership is carried away, the church has been carried away. There are two opposite poles of leadership. You have complete dead leadership, nothing. Then on the other side of the spectrum, you've got extreme emotionalism. Now, what you've got to be able to do as a church is to discern. What's right? Who's right? Let me mention some things that the church has suffered through. First of all, she has suffered decline in her members for the past 20 years because of a lack of spiritual discernment in the church. The decline in church membership is great. Folks don't come to church anymore because they can't discern what they're coming to listen to. I would also say that she has not been able to recover from this decline, and those prospective members that she had at one time have given themselves over to strange faiths in our community. I was on the way to work, to work this morning, and I saw a lady dressed in a long white dress and had this veil all over her face and had the holy something in her hand. And I said, oh my God, completely given over to foolishness because of a lack of spiritual discernment. She has neglected to provide through her appointed leaders safeguards for guidelines that call for the members to weigh the merits of leadership. When you follow bad leaders, it's because their junk is bad, you bad, your life's going to be bad. And not bad in the positive sense for Christ. Therefore, qualified godly leadership is the only way that the church can regain its birthright, which is to represent Jesus Christ. I cannot positively lift up the name of Jesus unless I have the gift of discernment to know that absolutely everything that I do is absolutely correct by the biblical standard. But there is a question, and the question is, when did this switch take place? Now let's take some time to emphasize this. When did the church lose its way to discern the true from the false? The answer is found in a quote. And listen to this quote. It says, "The popular evangelical conception of truth has become almost completely subjective. Truth is viewed as fluid, always relative, never absolute. To suggest that any objective criterion might be used to distinguish truth from error is to be flagrant or out of step with the spirit of the age. In other words, this writer says that the reason that we cannot discern, because it would be uncomfortable to make people feel uncomfortable about their faith. This author goes on to say in another quote about the only thing that is taboo nowadays is the intolerance of those who dare to point out others' errors. That's people like me. Anyone today that is bold enough to suggest that someone else's ideas or doctrine are unsound or unbiblical is dismissed as contention, divisive, unloving, and unchristian. Well, I want to be all of that because I will operate in the spirit of spiritual discernment. And when I see something that is unbiblical, unchristian, I'm going to say that is bull crap. And I will not be a part of it. And once you ever come to the point where you won't say that, you cannot discern, and the spiritual so-called leadership that you're following can no longer discern. One has said, I'd like to give you another quote. A preacher is in some degree a reproduction of the truth in personal form. I want you to get that. The preacher of the gospel is a reproduction of God's truth in personal form. That was stated by Henry Ward Beecher. Preacher of old. He was saying, oh, you want to know what a preacher is? Truth, walking and talking and in your faith discerning. Now, when you got a preacher that can't discern, you really got a mess. Let me give you another quote. I define leadership as influence, and one's influence is a direct result of his example. In other words, you've got to look at the person's character. Influence, leadership is influence. Influence is a direct result of the example that you're following. When you're following undisciplined discernment, you will be undisciplined in your discernment. And that's why the church has declined. Nobody wants to say, no, we're not going for this anymore. Man, when we move, you better say that. Because it may be hundreds coming with foolishness. That can outvote you. You will say, no, we will not go for this. Feel that tension, church. Feel that tension. Thus, we can see that qualified godly leadership must be tested, proven, and tried. And if you have qualified godly leadership and there's no discernment, you're going to be taken for a trip. There's a question. What are the means by which one can rightly judge and qualify godly leaders? Well, it's found in the only point of the message, by utilizing the spiritual gift of discernment. How do you protect yourselves from that? Utilizing the spiritual gift of discernment. Many of you in this church have this gift. You know it. You feel it. You sense it. You, man, deep down in your guts, you know something's not right. You come out of churches, deep down in your heart, you know you're breaking on the inside. But you're not dealing with it because you have the gift, and God is using that gift to let you know that's not right. You discern it. No one ever has to tell you. You just know it. Let's define the term. Discernment is nothing less than the capability of thoroughly recognizing the spirit that any given person is operating in while undertaking ministry within the body of Christ. Spiritual gift of discernment, put in layman's terms, you can pick up the power that's influencing people to speak and to work and to function as they're in the church. You know what their modus operandi is. You know the theme from which they operate. And you challenge them about that theme. Whether it's a good one, whether it's a bad one. The day when you cannot operate in that gift and stop some mess needs to stop. That's why the decline is taking place in the church. Touch not the Lord's anointed. He's never been appointed. The punk has taken you. Spiritual discernment says the buck stops here with me. I sense some rottenness, and I will not put a dime in that plate with that mess going on here. That's what it means. What do these persons do? I believe that they do the following. Number one, they judge accurately what is of the spirit and what is of the enemy. These people know whether God's behind it or the devil is the one that's shining it. These people know instantly if it's of Jesus or if it's of Lucifer. They know instantly if it's godly or ungodly. They don't have to wait to hear the rest of the mess. They attack it on the spot and destroy it. What else do they do? Secondly, these have a sensitive spirit within them as they listen and look and linger. They'll fold their arms and they'll say, "Speak." And they'll look at you. "Speak to me. Talk to me." And they're going to look right at you, and then as you're talking, they've got you in the palm of their hand. They've got you cold. And remember, that's to protect the body. They've got you. See, the church has purpose then, because these are working, and he said, "Oh, no, baby, she got the gift of discernment. You can't put nothing over on her. Or you can come with your trash all you want. She reads you like a book, and she doesn't even care whether you know she's reading you, because she will tell you what chapter you want and how you got there and where you going next week." Oh, yeah, ladies, you got this too. Since y'all got the gift of lip, it's your time to use this spiritual gift. Like saying, "Oh, girl, you just completely out of your mind." Yep. Statements stated in the name of the Lord. That's under number two. Statements are stated in the name of the Lord. That's what they say. In the name of Jesus, stop it, they'll say. Deeds demonstrated for the furtherance of the message. In other words, yes, we are going to continue to do this. This is good for body growth. Judgments are rendered by those in positions of management because they say, "We have proven it. We know it to be so. It will be done." And physical mannerisms and their effects on others as well as the body. In other words, they say, "Hey, man, the guy just acts like he knows what I'm going to say before I say it, okay? So therefore, I'm not going to say it unless I think it through." That's wisdom. Because if you do not use the gift of wisdom around the person that has the gift of discernment, they're going to find you out, and they're going to let you know exactly where you're coming from. Because that's what the gift is in the church for. See, God has this thing set up supernaturally. You can't stop it. You can't start it. And when he gives it to some of you, you've been sitting on your asses. You hear mess going on, and you won't say nothing. I don't know what you're afraid of. Position means nothing in this body. The Word does. You can bring that stuff to me. When you discern that I've become a crackpot. Thirdly, these have a need to know what is the difference between truth and error. In other words, persons with the spiritual gift of discernment, no, let me study some truth here. Why? Well, because I got to find out what the error is looking like over here. See, they can't point out no error until they study the truth and lived under the truth and taught the truth and obeyed the truth. You don't have the spiritual gift of discernment, and you ain't never around here. "Well, I'm this and that. How do I know what you are? Show me your life." No. So watch these folk that got all this truth, and you never see them here getting none. A light should come on. What else? They want to know what is the Spirit of God and what that Spirit of God could never be. In other words, you know what they do? They go visiting cults. They visit cults and they enjoy it. Because now they say, "Now I can find out what's true and what's false. Let me sit in the false house." And you just sit there and you just, "Oh, this is great." If you have a fear to do that, you don't have the gift. Fifthly, they desire to know the meaning, the intent, and the source, or the mystery, and are the hidden things in order to gain a clear definition of the things that ought to happen for the purpose of revealing goodness to the body of Christ. They want to know the inside, outside, upside, downside, all the sides. They're not coming with their side because they believe that their side is totally the debauched side. Their opinion is debauched. Okay? Their entire personality is debauched. They know it. All they want is God to be glorified and to protect His blessed church. They're not concerned about their mother being happy. They'll say to their mother, "Mother, you out of line. Straighten up and fly. Straighten up and fly right. Remember that one, Mama? Yeah. Straighten up and fly right. Oops, oh, baby, goes your salvation." There it is. They'll tell you that, Mama, because they're not concerned. Number six, these desire to know what is the root cause behind every manifestation, every activity, every event. There is to be nothing that cannot be defined with this person. Because they're working for the community of believers. Why are we doing this? I don't know. It shouldn't be done. What do you mean? If you're doing anything and you don't know why, it shouldn't be done. I was speaking with my music leader. I said, "What are you going to sing?" He said, "You know that song I sung over there?" I said, "Well, what do you think?" "I think it's going to glorify God." I said, "Do it. If it don't, I don't know." And he did it, and it did. Some of you may not think it is, because you know what it is? You're judging your brother and sister under the wrong spirit. You bring the spirit of the world in God's church. How dare you? You leave your likes and dislikes out of here. You come here with an open heart, ready to listen to the word of God and let God's word mount up in your heart and make you to become a different kind of creature. But you come in here with your predisposed disposition of neglect. You are not worshiping. But I didn't detect that did nobody like the ministering today, so, but maybe I wasn't keyed into that, right? No, because I'm too busy glorifying Him. Get this! When you're busy lifting up the name of Jesus, you don't have time to be looking around in nobody else's face. But when you have never lifted up His name, that's all you do is come here for time to look around. Let this word grab you. What happens to the body when this gift is not used? I think we need to ask that, I would say. And see, we've got to ask this question. What happens in the church when you don't have the gift of discernment? When it's not exercised? Number one, confusion becomes the order of the day because no one really knows anymore. Oh, we can't be sure of nothing. Say what? Oh, we don't know whether this is right or wrong. How does John know? He has the gift of discernment. Well, do you know what the gift is? Well, no. Well, how do you know? How do I know you know? How much time do you spend in studying the Word? Come on down here and pick up, open up your Bible. Do you know where the book of Genesis is? Oh, you know what I know if you can go through this book through the floor with me. You don't come through the floor, you ain't got nothing but questions. Second thing that happened, no one can really say if anything is real or false. Because you just can't be sure of anything doctrinally. You know, the essence is Fred could be right. Oh yes, that's what it comes to. You know, he could be true. He may have something over there that is what we need. When there's no gift of discernment, that's what happens in the church. I would also say, thirdly, the body of Christ establishes an anything goes mentality. This means, where's the pastor? Well, he ain't around here. Well, he ain't got to know about this. Let's just do this. He ain't got no nothing. Anything goes here. When there's no spiritual gift of discernment. See, now you're keying in on what Jesus is. Jesus is not a chump punk wimp. He got folk in the body with this gift ready to exercise it in your face to protect you. And you should be happy. Most folk are fearful of people with the gift of discernment. And I don't know why. We just read through the lines. That's all. So, fourthly, doubt creeps into the group that no certain person can qualify anything. Then you got chaos. Well, since we don't know, just let this happen. That's why they're bringing females in the pulpits now. Well, God can use a woman, can't he? Yes, he can also use a jackass. Why don't you bring one of those behind the pulpit and let it get up here and eat? Spiritual gift of discernment says, what does the word say? I ain't thinking about no word. I got a new word for you. I'm here. Said heathen, drop dead. I want the word. Fifthly, then your faith is as reckless and free as an ordained homosexual youth pastor in charge of an all-boys teenage swim team after school. Don't let that sink in. Because you know that youth pastor's in oblivion, ain't he? I'm in charge of the swim team. Boys, get undressed. But no discernment, you want to ordain the fool. You want to ordain him and have him there and say, well, it's equal rights. Then you're going to bring the lesbo in there.
Oh, sister, your hair is so sweet today. Let's have dinner.
Without the gift of discernment, you folk are in for anything. What is this message causing in your heart right now? I want you to ask yourself that. What is this doing to you? What is this doing to your brain right now, church? Don't forget this message, because this is the one that you're going to need to hear over and over and over again. When you start talking about change, everything must change. Not in God's church. Number one, I would say to all of us, I have to look at our leaders and ask questions concerning their ability to discern truth from error. You need to look at every leader in this church. Can you determine truth from error? Because if you cannot determine truth from error, how can you qualify yourself as a leader? You need to say, do you agree with everything that man says up there about false doctrine? Well, no. Well, what are you doing in the position of leadership in the vet? How can you justify that position? Well, what does John know? What do you know? I believe what the man said because it makes spiritual sense. And my spirit was built up and you're tearing it down. What do you believe? Then, my friend, you would be very, very careful lest you lay your hands on somebody suddenly that doesn't even believe God. I would say, secondly, that all of us ought to be able to determine if we are able to come to these kinds of decisions without the aid of the other person's opinion. Don't ask other folk in the church what they think. Let the Holy Spirit use your brain. Just engage our brains, and we just doing everything now and then asking, well, I feel this way. What do you think? These people don't study God's word. Ask me what I think. I'll tell you what the master says. I'm going to tell you what I made up. Go around and ask somebody, why are you operating in ministry? Well, I don't know. The pastor told me to. You better have enough discernment to say, you need to get out, fool, now. Let's look at the gift. Wait, I'm sorry. Did I get down here? Discern truth from error. Right, I said that. Let's move on down to the gift in action form. These are our main texts we're going to go to. Go there with me, Acts chapter 16. We're going to go to Acts chapter 16, and I want you to start with me at verse 16 through 18. That's all we're going to look at. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. I want to show you how this gift looks when it is functioning in the Bible, and so that you will never have to worry about whether your pastor is lying to you. And you need to ask yourself, why don't these other pastors preach from this text like this? It should be very simple to you. Let me read the verses. Verses 16 through 18 reads like this. And it happened as if we were going from the place of prayer, a certain slave girl having the spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bond servants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. And she continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And it came out of her that very moment. Now let's talk about these verses and let's see how this works. I would say, number one, what do we see here? The devil will use any vessel that he can in order to bring confusion into the body of Christ. That's what you see in verse 16. And it happened as they were going about to the place of prayer. What does the devil do? He sends somebody to the church, running their mouths. Now, thus far, there ain't nothing wrong with that, because all of us that have come to the church, don't we, brothers and sisters? We come to the church running our mouths, don't we? And it's all right to run your mouth. But the devil is going to send people to the church that's running their mouths. Now, you need the spiritual gift of discernment, because if you don't have it, you don't know what the person is running their mouth for. I do. Let's check it out. Let's check it out. The person with the gift must realize that the enemy is lurking for opportunities to place the ministry in a compromising position. Now, you might say, well, she was a slave girl and a master's had her. She came to the church. It was good that she came there. Oh, I'm not concerned about her being in the church. I'm concerned about her running her mouth. And you read a dialogue and you said, well, it said these men are of the Most High God. Oh, is that what it said? Well, why was Paul ticked? We haven't even moved down there yet. See, you got your Bibles. Do you ever study it? Why was Paul ticked? I want that to zero in. Well, she was in the church. She said they were good preachers. I mean, ain't that what you want, Pastor John? Amen, Pastor John. We backing you, man. You the amen man. No. Why was Paul ticked? Check this out. Persons with the gift of discernment are never to be taken back because the agenda is money-backed. Look at verse 16b. And a certain slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her master as much profit by telling fortunes. She was into the, what's this channel that they got where you can, you know, get your palms read now? Where you can get your psychic reading? This is what this chick was into. God spirit and told me, oh, you bringing your devil psychic stuff to the church. I would say, number two, the devil will see to it that his imp, and that's that demon that was in this woman, will seek to attach themselves to the leader of the Christian movement. Look at verse 17. You see, they always, because it says following after Paul and us. You see, the devil's no fool. The devil is going to look at, the devil is going to look at a church, and the devil's going to say, I want the imp to be right next to John. Come on and walk next to me, brothers and sisters. I love it because I have the gift of discernment. I'm just waiting on you to open your mouth like this one. Tell me about how great this ministry is. Oh, I'm back in the bed when we move. I'm going to be there for you. Yeah. Check this out. Check this out. Luke, the writer, understood that there had to be someone in the group of leaders that could discern more than the outward, more than the superficial, more than the surface. You people are going to give me, some folk are just going to give you outward, superficial, surface selves. They don't ever want you to see what's deeply within their hearts. They don't want to reveal to you how they really feel about life. They've tricked you. And let me tell you something, you can do anything, say anything you want. I know whether you're real or not. And I'll pray you to the hilt. You see my hand, I'm just waiting on you to reveal yours. Mine is death for Christ. Are you ready to die for the man? Check this out. These persons have to hear more than the words. When you look at verse 17b, her words was, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming the way of salvation. Hey, Paul heard more than that. Paul said, yeah. I know what I'm all about. I don't need you affirming me. I know what God's called me to do from the very foundation of the world. You just got here last week. Don't talk to me about how great I am. I may be looking at your woman. Right now. Right. You better be careful when you go up and tell them, suckers that. Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, brother. They're looking at your woman or your son. Yes. People, you need people like me in the church. Man, so-called teachers and preachers will come around here. Yes, I'm looking dead in your face. You what? Check this out. To the person without spiritual discernment, this woman sounded just like the real, genuine article. Christian extraordinaire. Oh, man, that's who you need, John. You need somebody telling you how bad this ministry is. No, no. I never needed that. I need Jesus, and he's enough. I just need some workers to get out here and get the work done. I don't need no amen shouting in my corner. No, I don't need that. Thirdly, I see that the devil thought that he would have a hiding place in the body. But look at verse 18. See, the devil always thinks he can hide out in the church. Verse 18 says, and she continued doing this for many days. In other words, oh, man, I'm safe in here. They ain't going to say nothing. They ain't going to let me go right along with it. Oh, I'm going to work this thing to death. Oh, yeah, right. Before action is taken, wise leadership fully analyzes, taking under consideration every aspect as not to harm or to make the wrong calls. That's why you see in this term many days. Oh, Paul could have spotted it like that and pointed out. Paul said, no, I'm not going to do that. Because sister may have family. No, I'm not going to point him out right now. I'm going to let him do his thing. See, spiritual leadership that has discernment ain't afraid of nothing, nobody, because he's dead to himself and you, he's alive to God. So all he's going to do is wait. Lord, give them time to repent. They don't even know what they're saying. Don't even know what they're doing. You need discernment in the church. You don't need a church where there's nobody, well, nobody can't, nobody say nothing. You're going to give your money for 30, 40, 50 years, everything you've earned, and they're going to take it, and they're going to take you to the bank. And then you're just going to get mad like the sinner that you were supposed to repent it of. I want to know why couldn't you put some discerning spirits there to challenge them. And I challenge my leadership, oh, you challenge me. Don't disagree with me. Challenge me! And when you find me wrong, I'll repent. If you don't find me wrong, shut up and get behind me and follow me as I lead. Spiritual discernment. That's where it works in the church. This ain't no democracy here. I think we need to change it now my way. I'm saying, how much time do you have in this book? What do you know of God? First thing I looked up and saw that my wife wasn't here. I went to my daughter and said, how's my sweetheart? Daddy, you need to... I went back home. Are you fine? Are you well? Are you? And she says, I said, we will go see the doctor tomorrow. But what would it look like? I'm going to stop preaching and run home. What kind of leader do you want? Oh, my wife, I have to run. No, you will stand here and you will preach this word. That's what you want, discernment. But you want somebody weak? Church is going to be self-destructive. Man, I love this. The devil didn't consider that after many days. What part of Paul was annoyed in verse 18b? I think we need to ask that. For it says that Paul was greatly annoyed. Now let's deal with that. Because you see, when you've got this spiritual gift, something annoys you. Something eats at you. Something begins to tear away at the spiritual person. He ain't satisfied when he just got a lot of money, a lot of people, a lot of land. He's annoyed. There's something wrong. And after many days, we see that. What are the facts concerning this? That's what we need to ask. What are the facts? Number one, that she was interfering with him as a senior pastor, and that he was frightened that she might become the new pastor and take more money than he is? Oh, let's talk about that. Well, now, Paul got mad because his sister is going to get a bigger following than him. Paul was no chump. No Christian minister ever has been. And the minister is not into the ministry for money in the first place. He needs money to exist. Don't be a fool. We're living in a democracy here, in a democratic society. It takes money to exist. No, Paul didn't become annoyed because she may become the first senior pastor and he was a chauvinist. It's not what it's all about, church. You can read anything into those lines you want to. Was it like that? Was it because she was a woman And you know what many people say about Paul today, you know, well, he was a chauvinist. That's what his problem was. No, I dare say that it wasn't that either. So let's move on down to what I call practicing biblical investigation with the spirit of discernment. All right, praise God, in 2 weeks, nursery time. Great, man, I'm loving this. This is great. Practicing biblical investigation with the spirit of discernment. And I took this for some of you guys that really want to do some good reading. Try to get G. Campbell Morgan's commentary on the book of Acts, if you can find it. Because the following statements are taken from him. I wanted to know, why was Paul annoyed? And I looked at all the Greek terms and everything, and I'm saying, yeah, I know what it means, but why was he annoyed? And Campbell came up with this beautiful, beautiful discourse, and I'd just like to share it with you. To my preaching staff, I want to tell you something, Brother Lenny, Brother Greg, nothing, hey, listen, the will has already been invented. Study, man. You can find this stuff. You don't have to make it up. Greater men than us have written about this. And so all of us that think that we're the newest, sharpest things on the block, no. It's already been done. And I'm quoting him. When the devil tells the truth concerning the church, peril is created. You better hear me, people. When the devil tells you the truth, see, this is why Paul was ticked. Wait. This is a demon chick. Telling truth. And then Morgan goes on and says, and it is that she may accept his testimony and Satan hope to win victories thereby. See, the devil is saying, tell the truth. Believe the testimony, sister, so I can have an opening. That's why when people talk godly stuff around me, and I say, yeah, you what? I want you to teach the little fish. And I want you to grow up with them. And I want you to disciple the little babies. I want the big room. I want to know why. See? Pay attention. Pay attention, those that are greedy for position. Pay attention, Pastor John, when Olivet becomes too small and you want something bigger for your inflated head, you idiot. That's me. Paul knew this. God gave him the gift of discernment, and his use of it assisted the early church. Morgan goes on and says, truth must win, whoever may utter it. That is what a lot of people think in the church. That is the master lie that has cursed the church of God, Morgan says further. And I'm putting this in for the past 20 years. You have people in the truth saying truth must win no matter who says it, whether he's a heretic, whether she's a female pastor. If it's truth, it's going to win. I say that's a damnable lie. If it's from somebody that's not of the truth, it ceases to be the truth. Oh, you better deal with that. I don't care who's telling you truth. Are they of the truth? Well, no, they're not of the truth, but God can use anything. Oh, but would he? No, he wouldn't. Since he wouldn't, your argument is weak. So what do we need? Someone with the gift of discernment to reveal them for what they are. Olivet has that. And if Olivet didn't have that, God would not tell us to move because we'd never grow. Because mess would come over there and it would never be stopped. It will be stopped. Some of you that are thinking about joining us, we'd love for you to come and go. We are Christians here. Loving the Lord. But you come with Satan in your heart, you're going to have a little talk with Johnny. You're going to tell me all about your troubles. And I'm going to answer you by and by. Yeah. Because, see, I love exercising the gift. Because I know of many men that will never do it. And that's the problem with the church. Let me go on. Paul's problem in verse 18b, it says he was greatly annoyed. This is a word that is throbbing with agony. Diaponeo is the Greek term. He was throbbing with agony. It is not only grieved, but it has a stronger meaning, meaning greatly disturbed and annoyed. Paul was sore troubled, deep within his inner man. That's where I get in the church when I know something's not right. I said, man, you know, something's not right here. Something's not right. Well, what is it, Pastor? I don't know, but I'm going to find out. Then I start calling Paul. How you doing? And I'm listening to your next word. Talk to me. See, I got the gift. And then he works over the phone, waves, airways, every ways with me. I've been picked up on it. And I'll die for the body, Olivet. My life don't mean nothing to me. I don't want no big house. I don't want no whole bunch of stuff. I want to die for the Savior and the ministry. That is life. Anybody in a spiritual leadership position and you're not ready to do that, you better be careful. That person's greedy for something else. Yes, this girl was telling the truth, but it was demons telling the truth about Jesus. Now you may say, how does that work? We'll go to Matthew 8:28. I'm going to show you how it works. In Matthew 8:28, we see Jesus confronting the very same thing. For it says, and when he had come to the other side into the country of the Gadareans, two men who were demon-possessed met him. As they were coming out of the tombs, they were exceedingly violent that no one can pass by on the road. Matthew 8:28. Jesus was confronted by demons. And I just want you to look on down to verse 29 right here. I didn't think about this. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now, did the demon tell the truth? Yes! The demon said, you came here, Jesus, to send me to hell. Oh, demons can tell the truth, church. And they can get in folk and come to church. Here's a demon that talked to Jesus and said, oh, did you come to put me in hellfire for my time? And Jesus kept telling him, shut up, fool, shut up. And Jesus said, don't give away my cover. You're going to burn soon enough. Let me give you another one. Mark 1:23-24. Man, the Bible is replete with this. See, we think, oh, this, well, how do you know, John? You got to chill. No, you better look at this. Look at this word right here. Mark 1:23-24. And just then, there were in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Same old thing that this old chicken axe is talking. I know who you are, Paul, the Holy One of God, going to hell just like the demon is. They will come to the vet. Oh, I know, John, you got a good Bible church. You all right. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. I want to see you around here studying and learning and being discipled and growing and loving and being infiltrators in other people's life with your spiritual life. Don't come and try to pat me on the back because I'm going to do like Jesus. Oh, I know who I am. Oh, what's this conversation about? Stay in Mark, look at chapter 3, verse 11. I want you to have all this and so that you know how the gift works. So you know that there's nothing new in the church today. And whenever the unclean spirits beheld him, they would fall down before him crying out, are you the Son of God? Or that is, you are the Son of God. So demons would come to the church and see godly people and they could say, they did it before Jesus. So when they do it before me, that don't mean I believe you. I'm saying, oh yeah, I am a godly pastor. I'm saying, and what are you? What are you? Right now, look at chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. And saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. In other words, Jesus said, oh, man, shut up and come out of him. And that's what people with spiritual discernment does in the church. I say, shut up and repent. Because your line is so weak, there's another motive behind you. I'm not saying that I'm Jesus, but I have the gift. And that's where it's used. I'm saying, tell me what the real motive is here. Tell me what you really feel deep down in your heart. Why is it really that you don't care for me? What is it? Did I have anything to do with it? No, you did. That's your life, your problem. I got enough care of my own. Look at Acts 19:15. Let's go there. Because see, those of you that have the gift of discernment, don't let these people wear you out. Because see, these people will try to make you feel guilty for their foolishness. Don't ever do that. You tell them once, maybe twice, maybe 500 times, and then gone. And what I need to learn is when you told them 5,000 times, don't let your blood pressure go up. Because see, that's what God called me to do, El. Tell them 10,000 times and keep on telling. Sometimes I get human and want to run. No, I can't run. I want you to look at Acts, please, 19 and 15. And the evil spirit answered them and said, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but he said to the seven sons of Sceva, but who are you? You see, an evil spirit even know who's really saved in the church. People with evil spirits in the church know who the real saved are. And be careful, Christian, when you got somebody with a filthy spirit hanging around you. Do you know what they've determined? You ain't nothing. So be careful about that. Paul finds himself in total fellowship with Jesus, and I like that. This had nothing to do with his selfish motives of ungodly human disposition. When people use the gift of discernment, they aren't just trying to get back at other folk in the church. Especially a man like me, I'm not trying to hold on to my position. I'm going to be here until God removes me. And I'm going to be preaching like this until God removes me in death. And all I want to do is preach like this until he removes me. And I just thought about this. You can get 20 preachers coming in as my associates under me. They can all take a death pact. We're going to remove him if it's the last thing we do. I will be standing there watching the ground open up and swallow the jokers as I stand with the word and say, for God I live and for God I'll die. This, I don't know what that was. You better dedicate yourself to God or he will open the ground and swallow you in due time. Demons can tell the truth, church, but that does not mean that we have to allow them to speak to the church. You better get that. Demons can tell the truth, but they should not be allowed to speak to the church. Why? Number one, Paul recognized that this would be one of the devil's methods of alliance with the church. If Paul didn't stop this thing back there, for the next 20 centuries, the devil would have been coming in the church doing it. But here's the problem that we have today. He's in there and he's doing it. It's happening. And we can't tell the difference. See, he's in there and he's doing it and the church has been carried away. Secondly, if the devil came once, can once be permitted to cooperate, he will tell the truth every chance you get it. You let the devil come in church and you cooperate with him, he's going to tell the truth whenever he can to try to bedazzle the church. And then he's going to try to build up a team around him or her. That's why you need the spiritual gift of discernment to say, I'm going to see what this is all about. Let me see what this is all about. What is this all about? What is this all about? Well, why you got to know? Tell me what this is all about. I want to know because I'm protecting the body. Tell me what it's all about. Well, it's about this, and it's about that, and it's about that. Thank you. Continue. But if it's not about that, I break it up. I break it up. Thirdly, the Lord and those whom he has given this gift of discernment, such as Paul in this case, will not and can never accept the testimony of a devil. Wouldn't that be facetious for the Apostle Paul to accept the testimony of Satan? Oh, Satan, speak. I need to hear from God. Let me give you a quote here, church. A grave area in the history of the Christian church has been that she has been content again and again to admit the testimony of evil men and women because the testimony itself is true. Oh, you got these big preachers, these big churches talking this smack. You've admitted them because the testimony is true. You better ask, are they true? Let me give you another quote. God will have no testimony of truth which is not spoken by those who are true. For behind the method there is a motive, and the motive is not that of helpfulness, but of destruction. You know why the devil wanted this woman in the church? To tear it up. That's why, man, you know, I love to attack evil in the church. Man, let's have, man, and look, I'm going to chew on it till my teeth fall out, and then when I can't do it, I'm going to gum the sucker to death. Yeah, I love it. Let me give you another quote. Admit the devil into the fellowship of this propaganda, because that is what Christianity is. You know, Christianity is propaganda, you know. We're propagandizing people. So Campbell says, when you admit the devil into this fellowship of propaganda of the gospel, and ere long, in other words, it won't be long, when he will twist his fingers around the gospel to distort it until it becomes a deadly and damnable heresy. Tell me, church, if that hasn't taken place. People walking around here talking nothing but heresy, and you walk around, oh, man, look how big the church is. But you won't come and study God's word. You don't know what truth is. Study the word. It's heresy. And that's how the devil has attempted, and in the first century, he attempted to trick the church. Now, what if the spirit of discernment was not there? Paul would say, you speaketh right, sister. You speaketh right, sister. You have the demon of the devil, but we accept you because you speaketh the truth in love. That would be like me calling Lewis down here. And he says, oh, my black brother, you are black and I am black. There is an affinity between us that God has put together. And you all start saying, well, amen, amen. I'm just going to look at him and say, oh, Hades, no, fool. There's a great gulf. Shit! And if you're not able to say that it's fixed, you a heretic. I'm not impressed by that. So-called great men that got a lot of money and stuff coming here, if they come up here and sit in the first row right now, all I want to see is tears of repentance. And I say, he may not be far from the kingdom. In light of what we've heard thus far, what does God require? We have to ask that question. What does God require then? Because these are some strong terms. Firstly, he requires men and women with the spiritual gift of discernment who are strong in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He requires those individuals to exist in the church. He wants you here. And he wants you, if I should die tonight, when you show up next Sunday, to be aware of this mess and to say it over and over and over and never leave the church, because he's placed you here to protect the church. And don't even let the devils drive you out. You drive the devils out. Secondly, those who know when evil is spoken in the church and will attack that evil, as Paul did. When I look at verse, let's go back to that text, man, because when I look at chapter 16 and verse 18, I see something. I'm going back here and check this out, because I think that Paul did more than just talk. Paul said, oh, I command you, all right, devil. Y'all want to start calling out some demons? Call these out. I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. See, that's what people with the spirit of discernment do. They say, man, you need to repent. That's why God called you in the church. He didn't call you and sit down and look around and say, well, let me get my family and leave. They turning bad. No, attack. 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 And attack until they're breathless. And then you say, now we have a church that is based on the pillar and the ground of truth. No demon will ever open their mouths. And then when God sends godless saints to the church for salvation, it will be a true, safe haven. Without this gift, everything's coming up roses. Something to keep in mind. There will be such messages heard in the church today. I want you to take note of messages like this that you've read in this text. But I'm going to tell you something. That is the message of hell itself. You got somebody coming to the church. You know they're all hellish that life is hellish and they're talking with you, that is a message of hell, even if it sounds like the truth. It's a message of hell. The message should be, I love you. I want to minister to you. I want your life to get better. I want our community to get better. I want Jesus to be Lord. I want the rottenness in my life to be straightened out. I want John to know everything about me because I have nothing to hide from him, and I want to know everything about him because he should have nothing to hide from me. I love for people like him to come around me. I love to see the Spirit activated. I see that when God wants to send these people by your homes, they never get invitations. Even if these people bring you a message of truth, they are not to be listened to. You better understand that. You better understand that. Ask a man. Ask a godly man to come and fellowship with us when we move. He refused the invitation. Because I said, I expect nothing but truth when you speak. Anything less than that, you will be stopped in mid-sentence. We are to refuse the patronage of hell even when it attempts to tell us the truth. That's why Paul did that. This is Bible church. This is Bible. This is Bible church. You better pay attention to your book. Oh, it's easy for you to say you don't know what's in that person's heart. No, you just denied the message. I do know. And what I do before anybody speaks is I sit down and talk with them and I say, tell me your heart. Because if your heart is wicked, I will detect it. And you will not speak. Does this cause us tension? Deal with it. Let me give you a quote, and then I'm coming down to the conclusion after that. Alliance with evil is the most subtle peril that confronts the church at any time. Don't you ever. God is going to cause us to grow. He's going to send some good, godly folk to us. Good folk! Don't let that growth turn into a cesspool of sin. With a bunch of wickedness coming in. I mean, with this mentality, well, you need me because I have money to help you pay for that. I worship God, and then when you come with us, you're going to give your money, all right, and your heart is going to be given to God, and your money is going to be given in that tray as he blesses your life. And I would say, if you do not, and listen, let me make this perfectly clear. If you're not coming over there with the right intent to do that, these two Sundays will be your last in my presence. Because if I go over there with 10, praise God in the name of Jesus, we're going to occupy until he comes. And we're going to do it God's way. Let me come down. I just thought I'd say that. Because, see, some folks think, well, you need me. I need God. Anybody that got that in their mind that I need you? I need God. And you do too, because you couldn't even breathe without him. And if you got that down in your crawl, he's going to let you know that you need him too. And he will send me to pray at your bedside. And I will say, now don't we both need him together? In conclusion, one of the most important gifts operative in the church today is that of discernment. Only a few has this gift, church. Only a few. Like this statement or not, the proof is seen in how you address the matters that protect the church. The proof is seen when you hear a demon talk in the church, even if it's in your own family, how you respond. The evidence is authenticated in the manner in which you attend to the business of operating in the gift of discernment, without fear, without compromise. And I would ask, do you really have the gift? Next time, the gift of governments and leadership, direction for the church. You've heard the message? It's impacted some of you, maybe for the first time. Man, I never heard anything like this before. What is this? This is the word of the Lord. You're sitting out there and you're saying, my God, I've been looking for a place like this. Simple, plain, and practical. So this is the way the church works. Sure.
You've been visiting the vet for a few months. Your wife's been hunting you. Your husband's been hunting you. You know, we've been looking for this. Holy Spirit's been prompting your heart. Because see, this is the way it's going to be every Sunday. And it just feeds your spirit. I'd like to give you an opportunity to do something today. You've already responded to the message by saying yes to Christ in your heart. Becoming a member of the vet is so easy. Ready yourself to live this every day of your life. We would love for you to come and go with us to 95th and Broadway. Because we have planned when all of our classrooms meet and all of our preaching, this is what it's going to be. Oh, there's going to be some fun there too. We have picnics. We party. We get down. We have good stuff. But the crux of it is this. If God has impressed upon your heart that this is where you would like to be, after services today, please come up to me. And what we'll do is we'll introduce you to our church clerk or one of her assistants, and we'll take your name down. We would love to have you to be a member of our body. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the word. We thank you for its truthfulness, for its boldness. We thank you for Paul being annoyed. We would pray that those of us with the gift of discernment also might retain that tension of annoyance when things are not proper in the house of God. May it be used for the praise of your glory. And may we extend that gift to have its way in this body. Father, now bless those that have listened to the word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.